Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in our journey through 1 Samuel. And today I'll be reading for us 1 Samuel chapter 6, all the way to 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 2. So we're going a little bit more than a chapter, and I'll read that for us. 1 Samuel chapter 6 to chapter 7, verse 2. The ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us with what we shall send it to its place." They said, "If you send away the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it empty, but by all means return him a guilt offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand does not turn away from you." And they said, "What is the guilt offering that we shall return to him?" They answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for the same plague was on all of you and on your lords. So you must make images of your tumors and images of your mice that ravage the land, and give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from off you and your gods and your land. Why should you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? After he had dealt severely with them, did they not send the people away, and they departed? Now then, take and prepare a new cart, and 2 milk cows on which there has never come a yoke, and yoke the cows to the cart, but take their calves home away from them. And take the ark of the Lord, and place it on the cart, and put it in a box at its side, the figures of gold, which you are returning to him as a guilt offering. Then send it off, and let it go its way, and watch. If it goes up on the way to its own land, to Beth Shemesh, then it is he who has done us this great harm. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that struck us, and it happened to us by coincidence." The men did so, and took 2 milk cows, and yoked them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they put the ark of the Lord on the cart, and the box with the golden mice, and the images of their tumors. And the cows went straight in the direction of Beth Shemesh along one highway, lowing as they went. They turned neither to the left nor to the right, and the lords of the Philistines went after them as far as the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And when they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark, they rejoiced to see it. The cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh and stopped there. A great stone was there, and they split up the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the box that was beside it, in which there were the golden figures, and set them upon the great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrificed sacrifices on that day to the Lord. And when the 5 lords of the Philistines saw it, they returned that day to Ekron. These are the golden tumors that the Philistines returned as a guilt offering to the Lord: one for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, one for Ekron. And the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the 5 lords, both fortified cities and unwalled villages. The great stone beside which they set down the ark of the Lord is a witness to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. And he struck some of the men of Beth Shemesh because they looked upon the ark of the Lord. He struck 70 men of them, and the people mourned because the Lord had struck the people with a great blow. Then the men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God? And to whom shall he go up away from us?" So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kiriath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have returned the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up to you." And the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab on the hill. And they consecrated his son Eleazar to have charge of the ark of the Lord. From the day that the ark was lodged at Kiriath-Jearim, a long time passed, some 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. All right, so our passage today picks up in the middle of this episode with the Philistines, who had just defeated Israel in a vicious and bloody battle and made off with the Ark of the Covenant as a spoil of war. They brought the Ark of the Covenant into their cities, and eventually they set it up beside one of their idol gods. This proved to not be such a great idea, as what ensued was a series of unfortunate events for the Philistines. The idol statue would fall face first before the Ark, and then a bunch of tumors and afflictions started to plague the people in that city. And the Philistines proceeded to bring the Ark from city to city, and wherever it went, the Lord would bring down tumors and afflictions. And eventually, the Philistines realized, after 7 whole months, that they had made a grave mistake, and that the best thing to do was to return the Ark of the Covenant to Israel. But as our passage begins, we see that they want to return the Ark in a way that puts the God of Israel to the test one last time. We see, starting from verse 3, that the Philistines are willing to return the Ark, and they're even willing to send a guilt offering of gold tumors and gold mice along with it to represent their sufferings. But the way they send the Ark back to Israel is, it's a little interesting, isn't it? There's this convoluted process involving milk cows and their calves and sending them off without guidance, and it seems like a lot of extra effort. In reality, the Philistines wanted to make sure, beyond the shadow of the doubt, that their suffering was indeed caused by the God of Israel. Their logic was that if they put the Ark of the Covenant on a cart pulled by 2 cows and they let them go off on their own, and the cows end up bringing the Ark all the way back to Israel, then the hand of the Lord was present. Not only that, but they made sure to make this as improbable as possible. The Philistines chose milk cows, female cows that never touched a yoke and wouldn't have had experience pulling a cart. They intentionally separated the cows from their calves so that they would be inclined to return and care for their young. And on top of that, they looked to see if the milk cows would make their way all the way to Israel, a land that they had never stepped hoof in. It's a pretty clever test, in my opinion, and it was designed to show the Philistines whether the God of Israel was, in fact, a powerful, zealous God that was on the side of Israel. And as the Philistines set up their test and they let the cow go, we see that God does bring the Ark of the Covenant straight back to Israel. The cows went straight toward Beth Shemesh, and they didn't stop or turn aside. And so we see that God reveals a little bit of his awesome and holy nature to the Philistines. But within that, as God returns the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel, we see his commitment to his people. As God returns the Ark of the Covenant, which marked his presence and his fellowship with Israel, he shows them that he is still their God, that he is still for them. And the significance of the return of the Ark is not lost to the Israelites, not even to the farmers in Beth Shemesh that first happened upon this cow cart setup. They immediately dropped what they were doing, and they rejoiced, and they worshipped, and they gave offerings to the Lord, and all is as it should be. But suddenly, our passage takes an odd turn. We see that the Lord strikes down 70 of the men of Beth Shemesh who looked upon the Ark. Now, why? What happened? For some reason, the ESV translates this as looked upon the Ark, but almost every other English translation translates this as looked into the Ark, which gives us a little bit more perspective. These men probably tried to open up the Ark of the Covenant and look into it to see what was inside of it. It's a weird and profane thing to do, especially because it should have been so ingrained into every Israelite that the Ark of the Covenant was holy and that it should never be touched unless under specific circumstances by specific people. We don't know what compelled these men to do this or how far they got, but God did not tolerate their disobedience, and he strikes them with a great blow. This sours the celebration at Beth Shemesh, and people become so afraid of the Lord that, much like the Philistines had, they send away the Ark to another city, this time Kiriath Jearim. So what can we learn from our passage today? We see from the return of the Ark to Israel that God is committed to his people. He was supremely concerned with bringing his presence to them, with dwelling in their midst and offering them fellowship with him. This same commitment he offers to us. And not through something indirect like the Ark of the Covenant, but directly by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. He has shown us that he is endlessly and wholly committed to us. But at the same time, we also see that we must also be committed to the Lord. We must not take his presence for granted and fall into just following our own desires and curiosities. We must not be like the men of Beth Shemesh, who instead of celebrating and worshiping the Lord for his faithfulness, chose to do whatever they wanted, and chose to take advantage of the grace that he was showing them. As we go about our day today, let's seek to commit to the Lord just as he commits to us, and honor and glorify him and thank him for his faithfulness. Today, with every action you take, with every decision that comes your way, I hope you remember, be committed to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you come to us, that you desire to be with us and to make your presence known to us intimately, so intimately, through Jesus. Lord, we pray that as we walk through this life, as we go about our day, that we not just take this for granted, that we step into fellowship with you, that we step into knowing you and letting our lives reflect a life of grace. Lord, would your Holy Spirit convict us to do the things that we ought to do and to not do the things that we ought not to do. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.